Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program has been brought to you by Underground Meats, an American producer of handcrafted salami and cured meats in Madison, Wisconsin. For more information, visit shop.undergroundfoodcollective.org or stop by their butcher shop in Madison, Wisconsin. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes. Oh, yeah, 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 oh, I love, oh, 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 indeed, I like, no, 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 types of girl in this world, the one who make her money by herself, cause she by herself, she don't need nobody else, she don't have to get a job, hustle every day, even if she's struggling. Then you got the other girl, always smooching off her man, never really worked a single day in her life, she earns an allowance, and always owe it to him, forever up under and never knows what's over.
That was just Tekla, money. How does one get their money tight?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, there's a few different ways. I guess it's just about not mooching off your man. Just doing, you know, whatever it is that you do to get your own money instead of trying to get someone else to get money for you.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell me about it. No, that's great. And Tech will be performing later in the show. Right now she's going to hang out with some pizza in the green room, which is also the studio. Same. One and the same.
Delicious.
I'm Darren Bresnitz, one half your host of Snacky Tunes. Greg Bresnitz is still out in Palm Springs for Coachella. He's flying back. He promises he's flying back tonight. We'll see if that happens. But first up, we have freelance food writer, world traveler extraordinaire, Jamie Feldmahr. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hi, thanks.
So for those who are not familiar with who you are and what do you do and who are you?
Well, like you said, I am a freelance food and travel writer. I write for all sorts of people. Lately, I've been working a lot with Savor, Lucky Peach, Bon Appetit. And I mostly write about food. I like to talk to chefs and farmers. I do a lot of profiles. Sometimes I do history of ingredients, or I track down weird regional foods. But I just got back about 2 weeks ago from a three-month trip through Southeast Asia where I was on assignment from a couple publications, hanging out with little old grandmas in mud huts and making noodles.
So you are one of the people who are successful at writing and a craft in New York. Let's talk about that, and then we'll get to how you set up a trip. But okay. How does one become an actual writer? You'd say, I'm a writer.
Whew, I wake up and ask myself the same question every day. you know, I came to New York for college, and then I just kind of never left. And I'm pretty lucky that I sort of always knew what I wanted to do and what I wanted to study. So I came out here and I studied journalism. And one of the nice things about being in New York is that most major magazines and newspapers and a lot of websites are headquartered here. So it was relatively easy-ish for me to, you know, sort of get my foot in the door at a couple of really awesome publications when I was pretty young. I interned at Gourmet when I was in college. Rest in peace, Gourmet.
Shout out.
Yeah, old school, Ruth Reichel. But, I'm just really lucky that I've been in a place where I've been able to meet a lot of editors, a lot of other writers, and, you know, a lot of awesome chefs and food producers and people in the food world. And I've just sort of I'm always keeping my eye out for a story, and I'm always pitching ideas and trying to tell good stories.
And when you went to school for writing, did you study food writing? Did you take any classes?
I did.
You're grinning.
I'm grinning because I was in this weird black sheep sort of program in school where they let you make your own major. So some kids came up with really weird left of center, like not real majors, like interpretive dance as filtered through my left foot or something. But yeah, I basically put together a pretty straightforward program that combined journalism with NYU has a food studies program. It's a graduate program, but they let me take a couple classes, and they have food writing, and they have food history, and they have food literature, and all that kind of stuff. So I did, yeah.
So you did, and then did you immediately start writing for yourself when you got out of college, or you went right? Did you go work for somebody?
I started freelancing when I was still in college. I started covering, you know, events and restaurant openings for a small local publication called Metro Mix, which also doesn't exist anymore.
How many publications have you written for that have fallen?
They call me the... No. they do not call me the folder. Editors out there, they do not call me the folder.
Oh, she's a great writer, but your paper will close if she writes for you.
No, it's, you know, media's It's changing. It's a shifting landscape, Darren.
Yes, I'm aware of the shifting landscape.
No, so I started, you know, I started working when I was still in school. And then, yeah, over the years, you know, I kind of built up my portfolio, built up my clips. I have been on staff at publications before, and I have also not been on staff, and sort of prefer the latter.
Really? And why is that?
You know, I like the freedom, the flexibility, you know.
Free pizza at 2 p.m. on Monday?
Exactly. I could not do this with a day job. You know, of course, there's pros and cons to everything, and there's pros and cons to living the freelance lifestyle, if you will.
Health
but
benefits?
Obamacare. but, you know, I think if you're disciplined and you work hard and you just don't let yourself fall into the trap of sitting around watching Game of Thrones all day, you know, you can make it work.
Can't you do both? Can you have it all?
No.
And so around, is there reverb on my, I think there's reverb on my, yeah, okay, it's the microphone.
It's my fault.
Okay, so around the time when you were writing and after college, or towards the end of college, you also started traveling heavily.
Yep. Also, I mean, in college as well, yeah.
Where'd you go in college? And was it, were you traveling for food, or were you at first just saying, I'm going to be young and hit the world?
I would say it was both, you know. I've always liked food. I've always, whenever I've traveled, food has always been sort of, you know, it's been incorporated into anywhere I go. I'm always really, really, really concerned with where to eat when I go somewhere new.
What's the on a level of 1 to 10, what's the pressure level of finding the best meal?
You're really stressing me out right now.
You're already just
I'm already at like an 11 just all right. Hearing
so
that question.
If you were going on a trip in a month, is that enough time for you to plan all your meals, or do you need 3 months of planning?
No, I mean, I work quickly. I can.
The internet has helped?
Yes, media is shifting, as we've discussed.
So you were traveling, but did you already know when you first started hitting the world that you would want to become a food writer, or was it sort of your experiences on the road?
Yeah, it was more...
This is a chicken and egg question, by the way.
All right.
That is a food joke.
You know, I haven't always written about food. I've always been a writer, and I used to actually cover film a lot more than I did food. I did a lot of pop culture stuff. And it wasn't until a couple years into writing professionally that I sort of got into writing food. Because being a food writer, I mean, it's sort of an old profession, but it hasn't really been a viable, you know, that wasn't really something I grew up thinking you could do and make a living. Not that being a film writer is much better, but, but yeah, so, you know, I've always traveled with an interest in food, but it wasn't until I'd been doing it for a few years that I realized that there was actually, you know, that there was, people would be interested in learning about that, and I could write stories about that, and those stories would have homes, and people would want to read those kinds of stories.
What do you feel was your first breakthrough piece about food, where you wrote something that you felt got noticed? What was the first piece that you wrote that you felt really proud about, that you had said something that hadn't been said before?
You know, it's... All right, I'm going to kick it super old school.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to high school.
All right.
I was on staff at the high school newspaper. I was the features editor, and I wrote a story that this had nothing to do with food or film, to be honest. I actually wrote a story about openly gay students in my high school, of which I grew up in Chicago, and I went to a big public high school, but it was still fairly taboo, and there were about 3 openly gay kids, and I interviewed them for this article, and I printed their names, and it caused a fairly sizable scandal within my school district. I had meetings with the superintendent, you know, with the principals. I threatened to, you know, they wanted me to take the names of these gay students out because they feared that there would be consequences for these kids who had given me permission to run their names. So it turned into a whole big thing. The ACLU was maybe involved at one point. There were accusations of censorship. It was...
How old were you?
I was about 16.
Nice.
Long story short, I mean, the article ran. There were no serious repercussions, no lawsuits, and the next year I got out of there and moved to New York, where there are lots of openly gay people, and it's not much of an issue.
No, it is not. All right, well, we're going to take a short musical break, and then we're going to talk about your world traveling and then tips on how people who want to travel the world and eat their faces off could do such a thing. So we're talking to food writer, food adventurer, face stuffer, Jamie Feldmaer.
Thank you.
So you had a life-changing trip to Thailand when you were 19, correct?
Mm-hmm. When I was in college, I, for not the best, well, let's put it this way, I didn't put a ton of thought into the decision to go study abroad in China. But I decided to go study abroad in China, and sort of on a whim. And before I did that, I went to Thailand for a month, and I taught English in a small town in southern Thailand that no one ever really goes to.
Shout it out.
Trong. What's up, Trong?
All of our listeners out in Trong. We got your girl, Jay Feldmaer, here.
Yeah. I totally fell in love with Thailand. Like I said, I was there for about a month, and it was just a combination of this, you know, the scenery, the atmosphere, the environment. It's an incredibly beautiful place, and the food just blew my mind. At that point, I was, you know, I liked food a lot, but I wasn't really writing about it yet, but it was... You know, I'd never seen markets like these markets that they have in Thailand, just these, they call them wet markets because the floor is they're constantly dumping water over it because there's, to keep the floors clean, there's a lot of raw fish and raw meat and beautiful, incredibly crazy looking tropical fruits and vegetables that I had never seen anywhere. And just like this crazy, like, tangle bustle of life. And I totally loved it. And I was, you know, I remember hanging out with these just little old ladies who cooked noodles and curry for us there and trying to talk to them and ask what they were doing and having them show me what they were cooking. And I loved it. And then I left. and I basically, you know, had wanted to go back, knew pretty quickly that I wanted to go back. But I knew that I wanted to go back and I wanted to see more because I had just been in this, basically in this one area with a few side trips here and there. But I wanted to travel the whole country. I wanted to travel the neighboring countries, you know, Vietnam and Laos and Burma and these places. There was just so much for me to see there. So I'd wanted to go back forever, but I knew that I wanted to go back for sort of a long time. You know, it's really far away and there's a lot to see. So I knew that if I was going to go back, it had to be for a somewhat significant amount of time.
And how long did it take you to get back?
About 7 years.
And so how does one go about planning a trip like this?
Well, you know, like I said, I knew that I wanted to go back for a long time. And there's a lot of things that stand in the way of taking a multi-month trip. For example, having a job.
Right.
You can't really take off for 3 months when you have to go to work every day. So I did that for a while. Or, you know, while you're in school or any major commitment. It took me a couple of years to figure out what form this trip would take. I knew I wanted to go back for a long time, but I also didn't want to go and just backpack around. A lot of people do that, and that's totally fine for those people. But I knew that I wanted to go with a little bit more purpose and a little bit more structure. I toyed around with a few different ideas over the years. There was, you know, I looked into going to culinary school in Bangkok, looked into maybe getting a grant or a scholarship, thought about putting together some proposals. And then it sort of all came together after I had been professionally writing for a couple years and was doing relatively okay as a freelancer, that it all just sort of clicked. I was like, well, I write about food for a living and I've wanted to go back to this place and eat more and explore their food more for so long. I should go back there and just write about the food there. And I had, you know, at that point I had enough relationships and had with publications here in New York and in America, where I was in a good place to sort of tell my editors that I wanted to do this, and really have their support in, you know, and I put together some ideas for them, I did a lot of research and I put together some pretty specific ideas for stories that I wanted to write. And I came to them and I said, you know, I want to go on this trip and here are these things that are really interesting to me. And, I would love to write, you know, to find out more, to go explore and write about these things for you.
And how did it work out?
It worked pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, so it was a multi-step process, and right. It was multi-months of putting this thing together before it finally happened. You know, there was me doing research, figuring out where I wanted to go, what I wanted to see, and what I wanted to do, and then taking that proposal to my editors and saying, you know, this is what I want to do. Will you sign off on it? Having them agree to it, and then reaching out to people in Asia and reaching out to, you know, the Thai Tourism Board here and having, and, you know, going to them and saying, I'm a journalist with Savor. I'm on assignment to write these things about Thai food. Can you help put me in touch with some local resources there? Can you set me up with a translator when I go off to the boonies in rural farmland and no one speaks a word of English. So then I had to get them to sign off on it. So, you know, it took a solid 8 or 9 months of planning before I finally took off, and then I did.
So for all the non-professionals out there, do you recommend going these trips, or, you know, what is the best way for them to attack going across around the world if you're not a professional writer or working food and things like that?
Well, I mean, there are things you can do no matter what profession you are to really sort of make the most out of going to a foreign place. I always think it's really, really helpful to have some guidance from a local when you're in a foreign city. And there are pretty easy ways to do that. What I did, and this, I could have done this, you know, as a writer or a investment banker or a radio show host or anything. I just basically Googled food bloggers in the cities that I was going to and wrote them emails just out of nowhere. And I was like, hi, I'm a person coming to the city that you live in, and I love food and would love to go eat with you or have you, you know, tell me where to eat. And people did, you know, people tend to be everywhere except New York. People tend to be really, really friendly and really helpful with this sort of thing.
Well, I think New York needed an introduction. I think if someone's like, oh, my friend, or someone's coming.
Yeah.
But just to get the random emails.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're going, you know, to a foreign country where there might be an expat scene.
Yeah.
A lot of times those people are really happy to sort of see a familiar face. So, you know, getting in touch with someone who lives there is really helpful. You know, reading the local blogs, the local newspapers, the local newsletters, you know, try to find the equivalent of the Time Out, you know, Time Out Shanghai, Time Out Bangkok.
Time Out Trong.
Time Out Trong. There are three things.
finally, what's your music situation? What's your soundtrack of your travels?
I like to warm it up with a little Sam Cooke usually when I'm packing before I leave, just sort of get the ball rolling. And then for transit purposes, you know, plane rides, planes, trains, automobiles, I like to sort of slow it down. Maybe I'll do some real estate, maybe I'll do some air. And then once I'm in a new place, I'll try to pick it up a little bit, maybe a little hot chip, maybe some Spoon, something with a little more.
Some Bruce Springsteen, the boss?
Bruce Springsteen is appropriate at any and all time during the travel experience.
Packing, traveling, and walking around the city.
Yes.
Well, Jamie, it sounds great. Where's next? What's next on the map? Where are you going? What's the big trip?
I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Okay. All right. Well, is there a place that people can read your writings and check out your stuff?
Yep. You can go to my website. It's jamiefeldmar.com. That's F-E-L-D-M-A-R. Or you can go to my Tumblr, jamiesstomach.tumblr.com.
And is it always full?
It's, you go there to find out what's in it today.
Okay.
There's one out there for all of us, Buddy Bird. There's one out there for me and you. It's over, so I know it's over. So good for you, dear for me too. You left me alone. There's no word from you. Years have gone by. No, I don't need you. But
one out there for all of us. Buddy Bone, there's one out there for me and you.
Right, here we are, Snacky Tunes. Reverb is back on full effect.
Oh, sweet.
No, it's fine. So, welcome. I assume long-time listener, first-time interview.
Exactly. Tune in every single
I really like episode. The song that we played at the beginning. Real summer vibe.
Yeah, that's my new summer jam. The video's going to come out in June, so perfect.
So I got my pizza straight during the break. Is that the same as getting the money straight?
Kind of. I know Jamie here knows how to get her money, right? She really killed it with the self-employment tactics.
I don't rely on no man.
You know what I mean? Got to write those emails and go to Asia if you want to go to Asia. That's what, you know, that's what it's all about. So yes, eating pizza is just like getting your money, right?
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. So you are on because you just dropped your second album 2 weeks ago. Almost a month ago.
Yeah.
We are the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Who's the we in that statement?
All of us. Those of us who
can eat pizza at 2 p.m. on a Monday.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, those of us who take our lives into our own hands, if you will, and, you know, do what we love to do, whether it be food or music or anything in between, you know. It's kind of like we really all kind of are really privileged for being able to eat pizza at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's what it's all about.
And one of the most amazing things about the album is that you wrote the entire thing.
I did, yeah.
Which is not common anymore these days.
Yeah,
normally, it's like looking on the back of ingredients of some junk food where you're like, oh, there's a dozen people in this. Yeah. I've heard of one person.
Yeah, high fructose corn syrup wrote the whole thing.
Oh, well, he's got... Just wait. The end of 2013, MSG, Modern Student Gluttony, he's got some big tracks coming out,
he's
too.
He's got some huge tracks.
So what was that process? I mean, did you do the same for your first album?
I did actually do the same. The thing is, for me, it's like, I get so inspired when I'll either, like, make a beat and, like, have to write to it, or I'll just think of something that I want to write about and make a beat to it. But either way, I just have to write myself. Like, I can't really... I mean, there's a certain aspect of other people's writing or like production that I can get down with, especially with remixes or like rapping is a little bit different. But when it comes to making a full album and a project, I just feel most inspired by doing it myself. And I just have so much to say that this is my only chance to say it. I mean, why let other people say it for me if I could say it myself, you know?
And when did you start writing or when did you start working on music?
I kind of always been a writer weirdo since I was little. I've been playing piano since I was like 5, and I used to just run around the house making up weird lyrics and making songs, and my mom and sister and dad would be like, this freak, how did she come about? but yeah. They thought it was a bit of a freak. I was a little bit of a concern.
Like, how high did one eyebrow arch over the other?
I mean, high. They were suspicious of my...
They're like, either she's going to be a musician or we better get a lawyer and the bail bonds and everything.
Right. Thank God.
She's going to be on TV one way or another. Let's just hope it's not Most Wanted.
Yeah, I think they're all really happy that I finally can channel it into something.
When they heard your first album, they're like, okay.
They're like, oh, all right, okay. Got it. I mean, you know, it's been one of those things where I like to write, like, a lot, and it just so happens I'm really good at it, so.
You are really good at it, okay.
I do it myself.
Why don't you show us how good at it you are?
All right, I'm going to play
Transitions?
Something. Oh, I need to.
Come on.
I need this. Should I play you guys one song or a
Yeah, we're gonna do one, and then we'll talk, and then we'll chat some more, and then you'll do another.
All right,
we'll lay it out.
All right, I'm going to do Fake Tears, which is the first single that I released off the album with this crazy music video that if you haven't seen it, you should.
All right, well, here we go. Tekla live on Snacky Tunes.
All right.
Groove.
It is. That's my omnipotent reverby sound that you got a little taste of earlier.
When did you fall in love with the reverb?
I guess ever since I ever heard it on my voice for the first time recording. When I started recording with more like electronic kind of weird effects, I was obsessed with recreating that live. And I just was like, if I can do this in the studio, I should be able to do it on stage. You know, I don't want to like change my whole vibe from studio to stage to just be, you know, singing into a normal mic. I feel like there's always something that you can do to enhance it. Why not do it? At least for me.
Yeah. So what's, so when you put out this album, what's the process? Now that it's out, what are you doing?
Trying to get my money right.
Love it.
You know, you put it out, you work on it forever. It's your baby. You have freak outs about it. You obsess over it. And then you put it out and you're like, everybody's going to hate me. And then people like it. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you just, I guess I'm just waiting to see, you know, how far I can go with like performing it. I want to like perform this everywhere, you know, around the world.
Is it tough being a single parent?
Yes.
But you got your team with you.
It's hard being a single parent to the babies of my songs and my plants. I always call those my babies, and people are like, all right, girl, you need a dog.
How's your plant game?
It's pretty amazing.
Really?
You got to come. I'm like, they call me young horticulture because I'm crazy with the plants.
I appreciate that.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they take a lot of work.
Yeah. What's how big? How many plants?
Oh, like over 30 plants at this point, probably.
Oh, you just thought about having to say the number out loud.
Now I sound like everybody who I live with is like, girl, another plant? I'm like, I just got this crazy new hibiscus plant. They're like, no, you don't need another. I'm like, but the begonia needs a home.
I think it's better to be a plant lady than a cat lady.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Sorry, all the cat ladies out there. But
not really. I'll put it, if you're a serious cat lady, you're doubtful you're listening to Harry Children.
You're not listening to this, right?
You're looking at the 45 cats you have hoarded in here, one bedroom. So during this writing process, were you cooking a lot? What was the food situation?
Yeah, I, you know, I'm like super foodie. Like my plants, I like to cook, and then I like the plants and the food. I was like, they coincide. I cook my.
Do you grow herbs?
Wait, you cook your own plants?
I do. I cook my own plants and I grow. That's sad. I'm like an abusive parent.
I'm gonna raise you and you're gonna grow. I'm gonna eat you.
I grow my own herbs and. I feel like the writing process is a bit of a loner time. So, like, I like to, like, garden and, like, you know, it's kind of like my form of meditation. I just, like, cultivate plants and I think about, like, I just, like, think about lyrics for, like, hours and do nothing. Like, it's not just like, all right, let's sit and, like, time to write. It's like, let's garden and do weird shit and, like, cook and, like, oh, sorry, weird stuff.
No, it's the internet.
And, like, cook and, like, you know, just, like, just kind of, like, walk around aimlessly and do whatever strange things I like to do in my house. And then all of a sudden it's, like, 4 a.m. and I got it. And then I sit down to start writing or recording.
Do you have a recording studio at the house?
Yeah.
That's got to be great.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's got to be pretty meditative and peaceful with all the herbivore lifestyle going on.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's. I mean, I have a lot of roommates, so it's not always the loner, peaceful weirdness that I like to have.
But what do you cook? What do you make?
I kind of love like a Mediterranean, like a Caribbean Mediterranean fusion thing. Because I'm half Haitian, half Italian, and so I...
Half Haitian, half Italian?
Yeah, and my cooking kind
Just
of really
give
reflects
the backstory
it.
Of that.
My mom is from Haiti, my dad's from Italy. They met at the MoMA. Apparently, my dad tried to holler at my mom.
Art
hardcore. He was just like, hey,
what's up, Art Babe?
Tu parles français? And
really?
Was just like, yeah. And my dad was like 20 years older than my mom. He was this like suave Italian older guy. And he just hollered, and then they, like, you know, they just went out, and they fell in love, and they're both, like, love to cook, and I grew up, like, eating lots of eggplant parmesan and then, like, rice and beans and chicken. So, I, like, put it together.
Okay, so what's an example?
Like, I'll do, like, I'll do like maybe I mean I make a really mean eggplant parmesan off the bat, but I might do like sort of like a Italian, like a white bean truffle, like chicken salad thing, like a quinoa salad or something, like over like arugula. Maybe do a little like, I don't know, with the Caribbean aspect that would go along with that. I mean, it doesn't always have to be like fusion,
right?
But I'll do like.
But you'll see some spices.
Yeah,
cross culture
flavor. I'm very Or like I'll do like a jerk, like seasoned swordfish or something.
Ooh,
something like that.
And are you listening to music while you cook?
Yeah. Well, we have a record player in the. I have a record player in my living room / kitchen area. So
what's your cooking music?
Any record that I can, we have a really funny array of records, so it's really kind of not like super by choice. Like there'll be Milli Vanilli on sometimes, and then and then there'll be like a really like actually I know we've been having the theme of Sam Cooke, but I have this amazing live Sam Cooke album,
Harlem Square or Copacabana.
Copacabana, that's like the live. It's so turned up. And he's just, like, screaming. It's, like, so funny to listen. He's be like, ah! Like, he's just, like people think James Brown, but Sam Cooke Live is
Sam
Cooke
Live. And I don't know if you've heard the Harlem Square album, but that...
Not live.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so live at the Harlem Square. So if we can diverge for a second, then we have a song. Essentially, Copacabana was, like, for the uptown white audience.
Yeah.
And then the Harlem Square one was, like, the downtown black audience.
Right.
And it's two... different vibes, but they're both amazing.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth each year which one's my favorite album.
I mean, if it's I have to listen to the Harlem Square now, but like it's like it's really fun. Like I feel like I'm always like at a show. I got a live show and I'm cooking, which is
it's
actually
so good.
Really fun.
All right, we'll hear another track.
Okay, let's do this money right situation because we've been talking about getting our money right.
Yes, get the money right to get the Sam Cooke live record and the pizza. So here we go. What's the name of the song?
Money.
Oh, you're gonna play Money. Oh, you're gonna play Money. Okay, so this is the song we started the show with, but now live.
Yeah,
Tekla here on Snacky Tunes.
Awesome. Oh yeah. There's two types of girls in this world. The one to make the money by herself, cause she by herself. She don't need nobody else. She gon' have to get a job, hustle every day, even if she struggles. Then you got the other girl, always mooching off her man, and really works a single day in her life. She earns an allowance, and always a wit to win. Forever a hunter, never knows what's over him. Why you mooching off your man, off your man, girl? Why you mooching off your man, off your man, girl? Why you mooching off your man? Get a job, quit shopping, stop mooching off your man, off your man, girl. Oh oh, you ain't got your money right. Oh oh, you ain't got your money right, girl. You need to get your money done, girl. You wanna know a little about me? You never ask my man for no kind of money. I hustled in the streets every single day, even when I was broke, I was starving all alone. But the girl who asked her man for the money also asked her man for the clothes, asked her man for the hair, asked her man for the nails, asked her man for the wax. Nothing's left to the imagination, what a shame. Why you mooching off your man, off your man, girl? Why you mooching off your man, off your man, girl? Why you mooching off your man? Get a job, quit, shop and stop
got a better way, got no whip. Get your own whip, girl. And stop complaining about a man who ain't got no bank account. Get your own account, girl. Please stop complaining. Hang about this man who ain't got no job. Get your own job, come on. Please stop complaining about this man who ain't got no brain. Get your own brain, little girl. And you ain't got your money right now. You ain't got your money right, little girl. I just couldn't do it. I had to get my money tight. Yeah, you see, I got my money tight, girl.
So good.
Thanks. Thanks.
I can see that song going hand in hand with your writing process of just being totally solo, doing it on your own.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll just like think of a word or something. I'll ask somebody to like throw out a word, or I'll just the first word, like play a game with myself with the first like phrase I see in a book or something. I'll like make it about that, you know. And this beat was just one of those random, like money was around, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make a song called Money. And then like I start writing about it, and then
one thing led to another.
I become a crazy empowered feminist.
Do you see yourself? Is that how you see yourself?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know. The word feminist is full of a lot of strange.
We got two very strong females on the show today.
We do. We're both feminists, maybe.
Jamie, maybe not. Are you feminist? No?
This is a really loaded question.
It is.
Yeah,
see,
right,
exactly. Well, we can't address that.
We got 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, I got 5 minutes. We don't have enough time. So, what's the summer looking like for you? You excited for the summer? You like summer in New
Very
York?
Very excited. I love the summer in New York. Oh my God.
Do you have your first barbecue plans already made yet for the summer?
I do. Actually, I'm throwing a music video welcome spring summer party at my house. I have a huge yard where I grow all these crazy plants I speak of. And I have a brand new amazing grill that I just got, and I plan on doing like a crazy, really fun, raunchy, interesting, weirdo house party music video.
Okay.
For the song Wake Up, that's off my album. I'm not going to say the concept because I don't want anybody to steal it.
But it's going to be really good. How raunchy do your barbecues get?
Like, you gotta come find out.
Like raunchy sauce with like.
There might be some food fetish people there that might love, you know, rubbing themselves down with baked beans. Who knows?
Okay.
And Margaret style.
Yes.
You never know. You gotta come. You're invited. Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone's invited.
We'll get the details. Yeah. And then I imagine some shows are coming up as well.
Shows coming up. I'm headlining Glasslands on April 30th with. Cool and Casa, Cool AD and Casa Overall, and Ticket Calor. That's going to be really, really fun.
Love that venue.
Yeah. So
that place.
It's so good. It's like home.
You know, if you want to talk about like a real New York, I want to show you some place cool.
Yeah.
Like that place.
Yeah. As long as you're willing to come across the bridge to really not that far.
Where do you live?
No, I live right down the block from here.
Oh.
But other people are like, Brooklyn, oh God.
Who is like, still like that?
Whoever's like that now, we're letting you know right now. You better quit it for the summer.
I'll tell you right now. I'm not friends with anybody who's like that. Good. Oh, you want to come to Brooklyn? Cool.
Yeah.
See, have fun.
Like East 14th Street. It's not even really Brooklyn. It's the L.
I know.
It doesn't even count.
Well, hop in a car.
Yeah.
Pack it with four friends. It's like exactly. $3.
Thank you.
That's gonna be a blast.
That's gonna be really good. And then we have some other stuff. IamTekla.com is my website. I have all my shows listed there. So we have some good stuff lined up for the summer. It's gonna be good.
Man, the summer. I think the summer is what makes living in New York possible.
Yeah.
Especially now that the weather's all super messed up. We get like winter hangs on for a little bit longer, but then summer hangs on for a little bit longer. Yeah. It's really just winter, winter and summer now. There is no, there's no fall. There's no spring. You get like a week of fall and a week of spring, but it's mostly just two seasons.
But it makes September and October really nice because now it's just extended.
Oh my God.
Hot.
It's so awesome when you're having a barbecue into October.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want to think about the global repercussions. So we have the website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Tekla, because I'm that vain.
Just spell for those.
T-E-C-L-A.
Okay.
Spell it. So Twitter is Tekla Tekla Tekla. Facebook, I am Tekla. And IamTekla.com is the website.
Awesome. And shout out to Girly Action.
Shout out to Girly Action in the building.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zoila Sylvester, my amazing manager. My Yumba Music, my label. We're all doing a family affair kind of style thing here with me.
Keep it in the family. Keep it in Brooklyn.
Affair. Yeah.
Well, you came over the bridge, right? Girly Action?
Girly, yeah, but I live around the block as well. So.
Yeah, okay.
And I used to live up the block on Bushwick and Moore for 5 years.
It's okay to come over the bridge. We're all here waiting for you. It's like,
you know, at some point there's going to be that reversed engineered. I'm not going back over the bridge to New York.
I'm not going to Manhattan.
I just have to say that New York weekends in the summer are sort of unbearable.
Yeah, they're too much.
They're too much.
I mean, I really don't like to leave Brooklyn come Friday. Yeah. And that's really Brooklyn snooty of me, but I can say that.
That's fine. So what are you going to take us out with?
Tragic Mulatto. This song was co-produced by Patrick Wimberly of Chairlift, dear friend of mine.
You know, I just found out that he married my college friend.
Yeah,
Jill Martinelli.
Yeah, she's a jewelry designer.
Yeah,
she makes awesome jewelry.
I had no.
They're very adorable.
Like, we hung out in college. I was like, on Facebook. She's like, "Oh, I got married," and I was like, "You married the guy from Chairlift?" Crazy.
That guy from Chairlift.
She's so great. Her jewelry is awesome.
It is. It's really great.
So shout out to Jill.
Shout out to Jill and Patrick. Woohoo.
Jamie Feldmar, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for your world tour of whatever you do next, eating and drinking and hanging out with grandmas. We'll be back next week. Greg should be here. I'll be here. It's been the first time we've had a show together in a while. And we have our summer barbecue series coming up, which is going to be amazing. And also, if you are not doing anything this Saturday, Mark Ladner, Abruzzi Style, Italian Barbecue, Heritage Radio. Tickets are going fast. Just go to, ItalianBBQ.eventbrite.com or 718-389-0985. Get your grub on this Saturday. You should be, if you haven't been to a barbecue yet, you're sort of already missing.
Yeah.
Missing the summer.
You better come.
All right, so here we go. Thank you so much. One last song on Snacky Tunes.
Tonight it won't get dark till midnight. Tonight I'm gonna be fine till after the sundown. Tonight it won't get dark till midnight. Tonight I'm gonna be fine till after the sun, after the sun down, down. She wants a souvenir. She wants a bigger skin. She wants a fairer skin. Black is yellow, green is tan. She needs to comb her hair. She needs to powder fair. She wears her titties hair. Black is yellow, green is fair. But she knows, she knows that green is crimson, black is gold. And she knows that she'll never be the same. She does it for the fame. She does it for the name. But she knows, she knows that green is crimson, black is gold. She runs into a sinner's cold spite. She gets away with winter's cold white. Tonight it won't get tired till midnight. Tonight I'm gonna be fine till after the sundown. Tonight it won't get tired till midnight. Runs into
into a sinner's cold flight. She gets away with winter's cold white. She was a souvenir. She found a bigger screen. Black girl like Paris went from streets to stages dancing queen. She did it for the queen. And she did it for the skin. And she did it for the black and yellow ghetto children win. Tonight it won't get tired. That green is crimson, black is gold. She runs into a sinner's cold sight. She gets to live with the sky. Night and morning night, till after the sun is down. Tonight I'm gonna be fine, till after the sun is down.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.